So, did you get a good night's sleep last night? Or were you interrupted by a visitor? You know, the visitor that comes in the middle of the night that won't let you sleep. He is sinister, and he wakes you up. Gets into your head, even. He might affect your heart, your body, your mind. He's an unwelcome visitor because he dredges up things from the past and he makes you worry about the future. And he always comes under the cover of darkness. Now, I don't know about you if you've had an unwelcome visitor like that, but this kind of visitor that I'm talking about is identified by a number of different names. Weeping, sadness, sorrow, stress, distress, worry, depression, fear. This kind of visitor that comes at night won't let you rest. It's an uninvited guest, and you just wish it would go away and let you sleep. But it tarries for the night. A friend of mine who happens to live down in Houston, Texas, had another unwelcome visitor like this tarry on through the night a few years ago. The visitor also had a name. This time the visitor's name was Ike, and he blew with winds of 120 miles per hour or more. He spat out torrential rain, he picked things up and threw them around, and he cut off electricity. And all night, my friend and his family sat in the basement of their home wondering if Hurricane Ike was tearing their house apart. They heard things being battered, things blowing around. They heard things slamming against their house. They wondered all night what they were going to find in the morning when it was all over. By the time morning came, Ike had fled away for good, and the sun was shining. The clouds were nowhere to be seen. And my friend went outside in the light of the morning to find that their home had sustained no damage. Nothing whatsoever. It was then that the visitor named Joy truly came in the morning. Now this morning we begin by taking a closer look at the psalm that we have designated for today, Psalm number 30. It's a psalm that King David wrote on the occasion of dedicating some land that he purchased, some land that would be meant for the place where the temple would be built, the temple in Jerusalem. But of course, there is more to the story. Now, if you go back into the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, it tells us that toward the end of his reign as king, King David had produced a pretty big army to defend Jerusalem and the land. However, King David was still just a regular guy and still worried about his enemies. So he commanded that a census be taken to count all these different people. Now, God was not happy about this or with David because David, like all of us, went back to relying on his own human strength, his own human intellect, instead of relying on the power of God. So the Lord sent a plague, which ended up resulting in the deaths of 70,000 men. Just to set things straight, and to show his repentance, David bought this land, and he built an altar, and he offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And this is the place where the temple of Jerusalem would later be ended up built. And it was for this occasion that David is said to have written this psalm, Psalm number 30. And talk about sorrow tarrying or going on for the night. Can you imagine having the responsibility of the deaths of 70,000 people fall upon your shoulders? Now, when the Lord finally took away the plague, can you imagine the joy that actually did come in the morning? The joy that David had, the relief that he was worrying for nothing. I don't know about you, but I am definitely not a morning person at all. It takes me a couple cups of coffee just to get me going. It takes me a while to get going in the morning, and the most productive times for me are later in the evening. I'm a night owl, and I'm happier later in the day. And it's for me, it's actually kind of hard to identify with joy coming in the morning. Sometimes, indeed, weeping may tarry on for the night in a very literal sense. We've all been there. There are those nights when sorrow and weeping simply just take over. We got nothing else to do but just cry. It seems like daylight never comes. We've always got problems. But then for some reason, morning appears day after day, and the worries and the tossing and turning of the night ends up turning into a new perspective with the rising of the sun the next day. Now, I have a question. For you in your own life, what is the darkness of night that you have been facing recently? Or maybe what is it that you're enduring even now as we sit here this morning? Maybe it's a prolonged illness. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a strained relationship. Maybe it could be a particular sin that just burdens you, like a thorn in the flesh that just won't let go, that you just can't help but keep continuing. Or maybe like King David, maybe it's the realization that the reliance on the things of this world for security will only prolong the darkness and make things worse. Now, you don't have to have clinical depression to have these nights of worrying, of tossing and turning, of just being scared, sadness. You and I, as Christians, we all still need light in our life. We need a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. We need forgiveness. And us as Christians, we of all people know that gift that we already have in Christ. We need forgiveness that brings light. We need hope. We need a Savior who brings joy. And we need a God who sends that joy both in the morning when the sun rises or in that nighttime in the period of darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to figure out what that is, that joy comes in the morning, I can only think of one thing. For me, there is no greater light, there is no greater joy than waking up realizing that your sins are forgiven, wiped clean. You see, there is a difference between what we call happiness and joy. Happiness lasts only for a moment. But joy is something that you can feel on the inside all the time. Sins forgiven last forever. Now, I think that's why the famous reformer Martin Luther encourages us to wake up every morning and remember one thing. He says that we are ought to wake up every morning to remember our baptism. To say that God's own child, I am, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. You see, this is the point of the psalm, that joy comes in the morning. You might wake up and you might not have joy. You might not wake up being happy. You might wake up with plenty of problems still on your plate. But every morning that you do wake up, regardless of what's going on, every morning that you wake up is a gift. And every gift of a new morning is a reminder that you have new life in Christ. It is through the sacrament of baptism that God forgives. He gives us new life, and light comes at every new morning. It is through baptism that temporary happiness becomes eternal joy. Because our sins are forgiven in baptism, we have life and salvation. It means that we wake up on the last day to a new dawn that will never end, a new morning where the sun will shine eternally, to a new day when we get to praise God all the time. That's what joy in the morning means, that you can wake up, yeah, you'll still have problems, but you can wake up saying that I am baptized. I have new life and I am forgiven and I am loved by my Lord and Savior. That's what joy is. And that's what you got. Psalm 30 says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So, how will you show, how will you share, how will you express that incredible joy this morning, every morning, and maybe even on the morning when you wake up and you see your Savior face to face? Think about it. Because in Jesus, joy truly does come in the morning. Happened on Easter morning, happened this morning, and it'll happen tomorrow morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.